Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. Today's episode was another Q&A where we answered four questions that got sent to us through social media. Question number one, what's the best way to calculate my macros? I understand protein, but how do I figure out carbs and fats? Question number two, how do I lose my love handles? Question number three, how long can you stay in a cut before losing muscle? And question number four, what are your preferred ways to do calf raises? Barbells, dumbbells, or machines? That was in the back half of the show. And in the front half, we spoke about whether you should send food back if it's wrong, the ozone layer, some new Avatar movies, and gave you a few random facts. All right, enjoy the show. Treating a person to a meal never fails, and it is so easy to do. It's powerful with old friends and a great way to make new friends.
Yeah, love it. Absolutely. I love being able to share a dinner or share a meal for someone or what wherever it may be, whatever it may be. I love being able to do that. So, yeah, it's a great feeling. I don't particularly like when it's done for me though. This is that whole me being a gift giver and not a receiver. So I'd much rather be the one on the giving end of things. But we've been through that before. But yeah, I think it's great sharing a meal with someone. I never used to be a big fan of eating out. And I'm still not a particularly big fan of eating out in regards to, say, like breakfast or something like that, because I feel like majority of the breakfast I can make myself just as good a quality. But if it's something that I can't make, I quite like the whole eating out experience now, whereas I didn't before. I didn't like the being out in public, and yeah, I didn't really like that aspect of someone else preparing my food for me. But I've changed my mind on that, and yeah, sharing a meal out with someone and having someone waiter for you is quite nice.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I think ever since I met the missus, I've been going out a lot more. And it's just like, I can make this. She's like, yeah, but it's the experience and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I get that now. And then so yeah, I don't mind going out as much now. But damn, like, if you go to some of these, like, boho chic places, I call it hobo chicken, actually. But yeah, these boho chic. It's or she, whatever it's called. They're like, I don't know, $10 for like half a pancake, and you're just like, damn, and sprinkle in all that shit, you know? So, I mean, it's good, but damn, it can get expensive. And like, that's my grocery bill, like for the week, just for brunch, a bit of avo and toast, $27, thanks. You want to add an egg, $5.
It's madness. I can buy 12 eggs for
Yeah, exactly.
that.
Yeah. And I could probably cook it better. Some of man, I don't know how you like feel about sending food back. Like I, there's something about it. Like I don't do it hardly ever. I think when I do it, it's mainly with a steak. If it's not like cooked to medium rare, if it's just too raw, I'll send it back. Just grill it a little bit longer. But with certain other things like eggs not being runny enough, I feel. I don't know. I'm just like, nah, it's all good. Just like kind of suck it up. But what are your thoughts on stuff like that? And I know you had an experience on the weekend, which we will touch on. But I used to ask at, where was it? Grilled, of having my egg runny in the big beef eater or whatever it's called, crow eater, I think it was called. And it's probably a 50-50% shoot rate of it being runny or not. And I'm like, I just leave it when it's not, but damn, I'm like, it just tastes so much better when it's running.
That'll be a hard one because it gets put in the bun, right? And the bun presses the hot presses down on top of the egg while it comes out to you. So it's probably runny when they get it off the thing, but then
Oh, I
in the
doubt it,
time
mate.
frame
I
they've got
doubt it. They fucked it.
are
They
they rock
fucked it
hard.
up.
Not cutting them any slack here. I am not a big returner of food, like, at all. So mainly on the preference that I'm worried about. I've heard horror stories of what chefs do when you send food back. So I'm just like, I'll grin and bear it, but it will put a potentially bad taste in my mouth for that place, and I may not go back there again if it can't do what I was asking of them. So I eat steak, I'd just go to a different venue where I know I can get steak cooked the way that I like it, and then I'll probably return there more often. But personally, I am eating out. It's literally things that I can't make myself, and that's what I try and limit myself to. So I don't understand like going out for like avo on toast. Like, I can make that at home easy, just as good, and it doesn't cost me $25. It costs me maybe $2.50 at the absolute most.
Got
So
a loaf of sourdough for
yeah, this is the thing where people talk about, oh, I can't afford to eat healthy. It's like, well, hang on, do an honest reflection of your life. How often are you eating out a week? Like, if it's more than 5 times a week, can you cut back on that and reduce it to under 5 times a week? Save yourself some money. Yes, you'll probably have to invest a little bit more time preparing meals at home, but you're saving yourself money to be able to live a healthier lifestyle and get towards your goals where you know the actual calorie content of the food you're eating. Plus, restaurants have one job. It's to have you coming back. So their job is make the food taste as good as possible, which often means more calories. So you can't control the calories whilst eating out. It tends to be expensive. So I would try and make majority of your meals, especially if you're on like a like have a fat loss goal in particular. Try and make majority of your meals consumed and prepared at home. That way you can control calories much, much easier, and you save yourself a little bit of money in the process. But yeah, if I'm eating out, it's for the experience, like you mentioned before, and because I'm having something that I can't really prepare myself, which I mean, things like a lot of Asian foods, I really struggle to do them correctly. But something like a pasta, like going out for a nice pasta, I'm like, man, I can make pasta at home. I'm not concerned about that. But like doing a nice sashimi or making like a really nice sushi, I really struggle with that, or some sort of Asian cuisine where I'm like, I got no idea what spices go into this, but it tastes good in my mouth hole. That's what I'll go for, something that I cannot prepare at home.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I know there are people out there that would want to just keep going out for that experience. And we're not saying don't go out and
Nah, not at all. Not at
enjoy all
all.
that, but like if you, I think what Brock you're trying to get at as well is like if you're saying that it's expensive to eat out, like expensive to cook healthy. Well, yeah, look at those things that if you are eating out a lot, and when you're on a diet as well, you are eating less food, so your bill should be a little bit lower anyway. You're just consuming less food, but you know you could get a meal for I don't know $10, and I saw it like a packet of kettle chips was like $6. I was like, damn, that's crazy,
Yeah.
crazy man. I was
Yeah.
like, oh shit, probably same amount of calories as a meal. Yeah, be
Have you
careful as well when you are dieting, like
Yeah.
if you are, because they're hidden foods in absolutely everything, butter, oil. And then that salt as well, just to make it taste that a little bit more so that you can, that a little bit better so then you can eat just that a little bit more.
Have you speaking of breakfast foods and eggs and whatnot, have you seen the price of eggs in the US at the moment? They're up like 70% or something, the cost of eggs, because avian flu is going through the US, so I think it's wiped out a large percentage of their chicken population. So there's a major egg shortage, and yeah, the price of the eggs has gone through the roof. So another reason to buy them yourself rather than eating out, because the restaurants are going to add that onto the cost of all their food and breakfast options. But yeah, the price of food's going through the roof at the moment. With everything. Everything's
Yeah.
inflated.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, my parents have, I think they've still got chickens. So when they're laying, I'll just go there if the price hikes up a bit.
Yeah,
Nice fresh food.
that's me as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And a little tip for people out there, if they do have, I'm sure you would know this, but if you don't, if you need to determine whether an egg is good or not, is you put it in some water. And if it floats, throw it away. If it sinks, it's all good. That's how you tell. If you didn't know that already.
Fun facts with
You didn't
Brad.
know that, Brock?
I did not know that one. No, I've been told you put it near your ear and you shake it, and if it like rattles, then it's no good.
My God. If it chirps, yeah, probably put it back.
No, not at all. Okay, let's talk about that incident that happened on the weekend with my breakfast order whilst you were up here. So the big bad
Yeah.
Brad got a little surprise for his birthday from his lovely partner Elma, and he came up to visit me and see my new place and spent the weekend up here. And the incident he was talking about, we went out for breakfast, and as a way of sort of limiting my calories or having more control over my calorie consumption, I ordered my hollandaise sauce on the side. Now, that's so I can choose how much of it I use in my meal and therefore have more control over the calories of my meal. When it came out, it was plastered all over my food, and I was like, no, I ordered this on the side. Anyway, I didn't send it back, but it was a little bit frustrating because it's something that I've asked for and I wanted to have control over how much of it I had. Because something like a hollandaise sauce, booyah, the calories in that thing are extortionate.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, Brock went up to the counter and ordered, and me and the missus ordered just on the little scanny thing. And I got mine on the side. It was great. I was like laughing inside. I was like, oh, it's poor boy.
Yeah, but we had a great weekend. I played what would it called? Tour guide, I suppose. Took us through a walk through a national park, and walked through a national park. Walk around Coolum. Took them to a couple of nice restaurants. Went down Hastings Street. Then on the Saturday, one of my staff members had a 30th birthday party, and Rad was having a few drinks, feeling
Cutlet
himself.
triplets.
And we were meant to leave for the airport at about 3, well, at about 1:30, maybe 2. Brad decided to change his flights the following day, and we ended up having a bit of a night out as well. So, all
Yep,
in all, a good weekend was had.
it was great. We were meant to fly back at 5 o'clock on the Saturday, direct flight straight to Adelaide, but ended up Sunday, two flights. We went to Sydney and then went to Adelaide to get home till like 11 at night, but totally worth it. That's just the kind of person I am. And so, same with my missus. She was the one booking it. I'm like, are we sure that we want to do this? Ah, you're having great fun with these days. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And
Very
then, yeah.
spontaneous, very instinctive. Yeah, I love it. Now that flight home from memory, you had no air con. Now you were hanging out your ass.
Yeah, so I'll update you on that. So there was no air con while the plane was stationary and then taking off, and then once it took off, there was a bit of air con going.
Okay.
So it wasn't as bad as it made it up to be, but as soon as we landed and then the doors open, I could smell the petrol from the refueling of the plane, and everyone had stood up, so there was no egress to the bathroom. So I'm like trying to hold it in this like vomit, and then the missus just hands me a bag, and then I just do a little cheeky chuck in the bag, which I've never done before. And yeah, had to wait at the airport for a few hours for our next flight, so wouldn't recommend it.
As I said, you're in a bit of a state when we left. I'm genuinely not surprised by that. But, how good. And the second flight was
Yeah,
A-OK.
nah, yeah, it was great. We went to get some pho. Like, I just needed something in me because I usually can't eat after I have drinks, but the missus can chomp through a bloody rhino. So we were opposite ends, and I'm like, I can't eat. That's why I didn't really eat all my breakfast because I don't usually eat.
Yeah.
So yeah, had some pho, and it just hit the spot. I was like, oh, this is great, so good. And then the next
Phenomenal.
flight was fun. Yeah. Just like, you get to a point, you're just like, yeah, it's time to go home. So.
Well, it was a large night, had a good time. It was a good little reminder for me of the value of our friendship and everything that we do. So, yeah, just want to give a quick shout out to Elma for arranging that. So,
Appreciate you. Yeah, she did it. She did it in secret for my birthday that's coming up. And yeah, she stuffed up. Like, we were packing before going, like the night before, and she goes, so what are you going to wear on the plane? I'm like, the what? And she's like, fuck. And then she like had a little tear and shit. I was like, 'cause she told me we were going on a road trip. So yeah, it was pretty funny. Good times, man. Oh, it's good to see you. It's been too long.
Yeah, nearly 2 years. Crazy. Time flies, hey?
Yeah, that Rona
Yeah.
stuffed up a few things in that.
Absolutely. Anywho, you're training this week. Has it taken a hit?
Slightly. It did feel pretty heavy the other day, but I've been going, which has been good. Just trained beforehand in the Mrs. Garage because we were going to go to the gym, but then got a lot of work to do, so we just did a cheeky session in the garage. But it's going all right. It does feel heavy though, like if you haven't had like good sleep and stuff for a few days, And then obviously a few drinks, it just feels that little bit heavier than it normally does. So gonna get this week going a little bit more, and then it'll feel a lot better. So what about you?
Yeah, so I really felt the effects of the lack of sleep, hey. So I think I got 5, maybe 6 hours the night before you arrived, and the night you arrived, I got 6. Friday night, I think I got 5 or 4, and that was interrupted because we had a couple of drinks pretty close to bed. And the Saturday, I got sweet FA. And that was a terrible. I didn't even want to look at my Oura Ring for that night, but I think it
I
was under.
didn't even wear
Yeah, I think it was under. Yeah, you just came home and passed it on the couch.
it. Health and fitness podcast, let's go. Oh my
Yeah,
gosh.
so I think that would have been under 4 hours on the Saturday, and then I got 8 hours Sunday. I've got just about 7.5, 8 every night since, but I'm still feeling the effects of that 4 or 5 days in a row of lack of sleep, which just highlights the importance of sleep, hey, and the role that sleep plays on how you feel, your mood, your energy levels, your thought process, all of that. So yeah,
Yeah.
I'm finally getting back on top of sleep now. But I tell you what, that lack of sleep, it affects training, it affects what I want to eat, it affects my thought process, it affects your energy levels. It's so pivotal, and I know we drill it home a lot, but I don't think it really sinks in with people like how important sleep truly is. So whether you're trying to lose fat, build muscle, the quality and the quantity of your sleep will have a direct impact on your ability to build muscle and lose fat. So don't sleep on sleep because it is pivotal.
Yeah, and try to limit the big nights that you go out as well.
Yeah. Well, we hadn't seen each other in 2 years. I'm
Nah, yep.
impressed we lasted to the Saturday night, mate.
Yeah,
We did really
that's
well.
true, that's true. But I just also wanted to bring up like the last couple of days, just haven't been feeling myself as well. Like I couldn't pinpoint what it was. I'm sure people have felt these feelings before of just like there's something wrong and I don't know what it is. And you just feel off a bit, and you just get upset over nothing. So that's what was happening. It could have been from the weekend, but it could have been a whole lot of other things. And sometimes it's okay just to accept it. And what I did was just go straight to the gym, and then just do some work, and then slowly over time, it just got better. And I know some people may still be in that kind of rut of just not knowing what the fuck's going on, but know that you're not the only one out there that it happens to, like even us, and just know that you will get through it. You just got to keep pushing through it, like we talk about. You're not going to fail unless you quit, and you just keep moving forward. Just keep doing the basics of getting into the gym, try and eat healthy, get some good sleep, talk to someone, and then it just. For me, it just, I don't know, it's just a night and day difference sometimes. Like, it wasn't like 0 to 100, it was like 0 to 50, and then 50 to 70, and then 70 to 80, and then I feel pretty damn good today, which is good, because I hate feeling like that, and I've had it before, and you just don't know what the fuck it is. You, like, I could not, I just, you sit down and you're like, I don't want to do anything. Like, it may have been just a little depressive symptom, and that's maybe what it is. And because I can't name what it is, it may have been that. But I know people get it a lot worse, and it's easy for me to say, "Oh, just go to the gym, just do that." And I know people are just struggling even to get out of the house because of like maybe high anxiety and stuff. So what I'm trying to say is like, if you can just do one small little thing, that will then build up on top of other things. And then you'll get the ball rolling and it'll just compound over time. And then hopefully you'll get through it. I just wanted to say that because it's like gone out, seen you, had an amazing time. And then the last couple of days just haven't been feeling myself. Probably the after effects of it, I would have thought. And a lot of emotions going on. And then, yeah, feel great now. But I know that people can waves of up and down, up and down, up and down, and knowing that you're not alone. You're not alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're not alone.
Yeah. I theorize this pretty much straight after you left. So there was the obviously the big emotional high of having not seen you in ages, and you coming in and us having a great time together, reconnecting on a probably a deeper level again, and spending some real quality one-on-one time together. And then I mentioned to you at the airport, I'm like, wow, airports are such emotional places. Like, you're either going there to see someone off, or you're arriving at a new destination, you're meeting someone that's coming to see you. Like, they are emotional hubs of the world, whether it's a sad emotion, a happy emotion, an excited emotion, whatever it may be. As soon as I walked out of that airport, I was doing some sort of reflecting in my head, and I was like, oh wow, I'm gonna have like a couple of days of post Brad depression. I'm like, because we've had such a high over the past 3 to 4 days, and lots of laughs and joyous times together. You, with a massive high, there's likely going to be some form of a massive fall, and that's that contrast effect we've talked about before. So, yeah, I was in the same boat. We deliberately got on before this podcast because we wanted to talk about a few things personally in our own lives beforehand, before we started. And that's that having someone to talk to that you mentioned about there. So find someone to talk to, return to the habits that support you and your mental health well, and just look to take the low-hanging fruit first. So a small win, whatever it may be, that could be, okay, tomorrow morning I wake up, I say 3 things I'm grateful for, and I have a nice big glass of water. And that can just get the ball rolling and create that snowball effect. But yeah, having someone to talk to, which we obviously bounce off each other a fair bit, returning to your healthy habits, which I believe we both did bang as soon as you left, bang straight back into healthy habits. And yeah, taking the low-hanging fruit first. So taking this nice, easy, simple task, which gives that little bit of dopamine release when you accomplish it, and then continue to roll on from there. But yeah, you weren't alone. I had a small case of post-Brad depression.
Post-Brad depression.
And I don't want to make it seem like I'm joking about depression there. It was
No.
just a little bit of a lull after the highs of the weekend. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up as well.
Yeah. And if you are suffering from depression, go see a professional because it is a serious, serious thing. Okay. So a bit of good news, eh? The ozone layer, I know you've brought this up before, is set to be fully restored of most of the world within the next 2 decades. Is that what you said
Yeah,
last time?
something around that. That maybe even be shorter than what I mentioned last time. So maybe it's going faster, healing, recovering faster again.
This trend indicates like the full ozone layer recovery by 2040. So across the planet, excluding the poles. So it's expected to bounce back to that 1980 pre-crisis levels over the Arctic by 2045 and over the Antarctic by 2066. So that's good news for us.
Fantastic news. We've got the massive hole right above us where we are.
Gosh.
2 minutes in the sun and you're burnt to a crisp, whereas you can spend 2 hours in the UK sun and nothing happens.
No, it's true. So if you are laying out editing a podcast, just make sure you're laying flat so you don't get a shit tan line. Not speaking from personal experience or anything, but
The people listening, Brad was sitting at the back editing his podcast and he must have been slightly crunched over, and it created just a little crease in his stomach, so he had this little white strip right through his stomach. I'm like, oh, what happened there, mate? He's like, oh, it's a tan line. I'm like, you are kidding me.
shocking.
It looked like someone had deliberately put like sunscreen across there, so that one part of you didn't get a tan. Oh, how good. But yeah, that's great news about it. Means we're doing the right thing in regards to repairing the ozone layer and releasing emissions, right?
Yeah, well, that's that Paris Agreement that I don't think America has signed on to. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot of other people, a lot of other countries, but not America. Don't know why that is, but I don't like talking about politics, so give me something.
Because Americans are strange, mate. They're strange people. They think they're the land of the free, and they're not.
Oh man, you're gonna lose our American listeners.
No, there's just many more free countries. I'm pretty sure Jim Jefferies does a skit on it, and he does it quite well. But yeah, there,
He lives there now.
yeah, he does. So he does it very, very jokingly. But I think he jokes about Something to do. Yeah, he does a gun skit, but it's something to do with being free in Amsterdam from memory. He's like, Amsterdam's a way more free country than America, but the land of the free. There's many free countries on Earth, and the more free countries we can get to, freedom of speech, human rights, etc., the better. So America is doing a lot better than most. Just a lot of them seem, a lot of their laws that they're passing at the moment seem quite crazy to me. But it is what it is. I don't live there. I'm not too up to date with their thing, so I can't really make too much of a judgment.
And I also think it's also a mindset of like how free you are. So you could be living in a country like that and then see maybe a regulation and then think that you're trapped and not have a way out and then blame outside circumstances. Now, I get there are certain laws that are absolutely fucked. But even if there is no law, but like, you know, people that were in like the concentration camps, like, you know, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, and he talks about this of, you know, you can't be a prisoner if, you know, you haven't got my soul, basically. So it's like, I'm not giving up, but like, you can't let them basically push you down. Like, you may be their prisoner, but you're still free because, you know, they can't hurt you. Well, they could kill you, but you know what I mean? They can't hurt you. So it's, I
Yeah.
think the people that were like, oh yeah, we'll get out this Christmas just didn't last. It was like looking for something that just wasn't going to happen. So it's a good book, good read, good listen, whatever you wanted to
I'm pretty sure I have
do
that.
it. It's great.
Man's Search for Meaning, yeah. Yeah, I've got that. Looking at it right now. Yeah, that was a gift from Murray. So
Oh, nice. Shout out, Murray.
that could be one of my next reads.
Yeah. Good old Murray. Yeah, go for a good training sesh.
Okay. Have you got a fact for me, or is there anything else you want to talk about? Sorry.
I definitely. Nah. Oh, I've got. Actually, yeah, I can tell you. So I finally watched Avatar after it was like on the last day that it came out. Loved it, and I liked how you said, can't really tell whether the first or second is better.
Yeah.
They're just as good as each other, which, yeah, I quite enjoyed it. But he's announced sequels. So Avatar 3 is coming out 12th. Hang on. This is American. So the 20th of December, 2024. Avatar
That's a quick
4.
turnaround.
Oh, mate. That's, yeah, I know. And then Avatar 4, 18th of December, 2026. And then Avatar 5, 22nd of December, 2028. So every 2 years, another one's coming out. Now, he said there may be a 6 and 7. And, right, so he's obviously worked on 3, and he might give out the director role to Avatar 4 and further. So I think the next one's going to be really good, and then 4 and up maybe won't be as good because the big boy's not going to be working on it. But he said he's filmed scenes for Avatar 4. So I'm just
Okay.
like, dang, this guy's like crazy. And then he says something like, because it's already grossed like 2 billion or something in the box office. And he's like, if it doesn't reach like 4 or 5, it wouldn't be profitable, which is going to say like he spent like 2 billion on this thing,
Yeah,
and
that's
it's like
crazy.
money. Like, he's like the Mr. Beast of the
Movies.
big movies. Yeah. So
I just hope it doesn't turn into like a Fast and the
Fast and
Furious.
Furious. Yeah, that's so funny.
The first three were good, and then and it's
Oh,
like, oh,
mate.
Fast Four, Fast Five, Fast Six. What are they up to, 10 or 11 now? Like,
Oh, I
come
think it's
on,
nine. Yeah.
flogging a dead horse.
I know. They're just making up stories where there is none. But
Yeah, as long as it doesn't turn into that, because we both in agreement there that one and two pretty much on par with each other. If I had to pick one, it'd probably be one just because of the novelty of it. But I thought they were both great. I love the I love his agendas that he sort of pushes across, which I discussed when I watched it initially, of like reconnecting with nature, the importance of human connection and working and building and growing together. So I really like those two aspects. So as long as it doesn't deteriorate into a Fast and Furious franchise-esque
Yeah.
model, then
Well,
I'm a happy lad.
yeah. Well, every 2 years. So he's got some stuff for four. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just like, he spent so long on the first two. The next three, four is, yeah, we'll see how we go. But I got a fact for you.
Okay, hit me with
So
it.
it was today, it just came about. I was sitting with the missus, I was editing YouTube video, and then I heard like a knock at the window, and it was a little magpie. I was just looking at it, and then it looked up at me and then flew away. I was like, "Oh, that's a female." She's like, "Oh, how do you know it's a female?" I'm like, "Oh, from its back, like of the feathers, females have like motley gray shades of markings, and then the males are just pure white, pretty well. So that's how you can tell." And so I double checked, and then it said, "Oh yeah, the males will have a pure white nape." I was like, what the fuck is a nape? Do you know what a nape is?
No idea.
It's
I'm
just
assuming it's
back
their
of the
back.
neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, just back of the neck. I was like, how have I never heard of a nape before? Like, it's such a weird word. So I found that out as well. So you're gonna have two facts today. Crazy.
Nape and how to tell the difference between a magpie.
Yeah. Pure white's the male, and then like pretty well grey on the nape is the female.
Interesting.
You got one for me, yeah?
I do. Do you know what the anglerfish is?
Anglerfish, is that from the church? Church fish?
No. You know
No.
the fish where you see the like little thing is seen from the top and it's got like a light bulb on top?
Yeah, like in Finding Nemo.
Yeah. So the ones with the little antenna thing with the little light at the end, they're all female. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So the males are tiny and are born with a terribly weak jaw and a massive hunger and appetite. So they seek out a female and are torn between hungry and horny. So they bite her. She then releases an enzyme that fuses the male to her body. She slowly absorbs them into her body with only their little testicles remaining so she can instantly fertilize her eggs whenever she wants to.
What?
Now, some females have rows and rows of tiny little testicles on their bodies from where they have absorbed multiple males.
Oh my God. You got pictures or
So
what?
I've got a picture of the fish for you.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
So
Rolling with balls.
that's the female there.
Okay. Right. Yep. I got it. Yeah, if you're watching on Spotify, you'll be able to see that. But if you're listening somewhere else, I'll get the YouTube videos up soon enough, but that might be in a few years.
Yeah, so I found that extremely interesting. At the bottom of it says, and you thought your sex life was weird,
Wow.
hey?
Well, I love it. I love that kind of just how different a lot of these species are.
Yeah, so I can sympathize with the male anglerfish being torn between hungry and horny.
He's so small, like, yeah, man, you just have to mold in with it.
A weak jaw, he goes to bite her because he's torn between the hungry and horny thing, and she releases an enzyme which absorbs him and just leaves his little testicles behind. So whenever she wants to fertilize her eggs, bang, she's got them on tap.
Right on top. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's stop talking about little testicles on fish and start talking about some health and fitness and answer some questions, hey?
Yeah, let's do the questions.
Before we get stuck into the questions, I just want to ask a small favor of you. If you get any value at all from this episode or any of the other episodes, whether that be space talk, animal facts, or maybe even health and fitness advice, can we please ask you to share it with family or friends and leave us a 5-star review? It helps us tremendously and ultimately it grows the brain body movement. Thanks for listening and I hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. Question number one, what's the best way to calculate my own macros? I understand protein, but how do I figure out carbs and fats?
Yes. Well, if you understand protein, then it's a personal preference for your carbs and fats. Like if you want to do keto, you're obviously going to do more fats. And if you just like training in the gym and getting after it, you probably want to go more on a carbohydrate source. But you can get like calculators online, just checking that, and it can like just randomly spit out. Sometimes it's like, what, 40, 30, 30 or something like that. But again, it's just personal preference. Like, I don't worry too much about the carbohydrates and fats. I just choose foods that I enjoy and make sure that I'm hitting my protein, hitting the right amount of calories that I need for the week. And then the carbs and fats just fall where they may. So you can be very meticulous with it if you want. But really, as long as you're getting your minimum fat, you can fill the rest in with carbs. Or if you really like fat, you can just bump it up. Like, I think sometimes if you go too much into the weeds with that, you'll be like, oh, I've hit my protein, I've hit my fat, or I've hit my carbs, but I haven't hit my fat. And then you bump up your fat and then you've gone over your calories. It's really hard to get the right amount of macro split because you'll be like, oh, I could have this food, but it's not going to fit my macros. But like if you just remove the rigidity of trying to hit your exact macros, you'll be a lot better when you just go for like say calories and protein, because that means that you're restricting yourself even more for certain foods, and then you can't have that flexibility that we always talk about when you're trying to hit certain targets. So calories king, then hit your protein, and then just let the carbs and fat fall where they may, and it's personal preference up to you. Some people be like, I really don't like having fat because I just feel shit and shit on it, or I don't like carbs, and that's fine. Like some people like going low carb, easy. So it just wouldn't really matter too much, and it depends on your goals. Like if you're trying to bulk up, it's gonna be hard to have a lot of fat, like 200, 300 grams of fat, which is a lot. That's where those carbohydrates can really come in, and you've kind of got to build yourself up about it. But to me, it's really personal preference. If you understand your protein, then just hit your protein and your calories, and then just let the carbs and fat fall where they may.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you there. So they know how to figure out their calories, I'm assuming, judging by this question. And they've got their protein sorted. So anywhere within that 1.6 to 2.2 grams per kilogram of lean body mass. And then once you hit your minimum fat target, which there is a minimum fat target that I'd recommend that you hit because fat is essential in the human body. So you still want to hit a minimum fat target. But other than that, it does not really matter whatsoever what you do. I would encourage the person asking this question to play around with it. So try high carb and low fat and see how you feel. You've got your calories sorted by the sounds of things. You've got your protein sorted. So just go higher carb and then just go the bare minimum fat target, which I'd probably go somewhere around the 15 to 20% of total calories coming from fat. I believe there is an actual more accurate percentage, you may know it, of like a 0.6 grams per kilogram of lean body mass, or something along those lines, or 0.4. But either way, once you hit that minimum fat target, then just bank the rest with carbs. Or if you want to try a higher fat approach, then go high fat and go low carb, and just see which works best for you. But yeah, you have a minimum fat target that you need to hit. And once you hit that, you're totally fine to play around whatsoever. It doesn't really make much of a difference. Personally, I do have them set if I'm on a specific goal. However, if I am going to eat something that's higher fat, I know that 4 grams of fat equals 9 grams of carbs. So I'll just substitute 4 grams of fat with 9 grams of carbs. It equals out at the exact same caloric value. So just feel free to manipulate around. It could be 8 and 18. Yeah. So you can substitute back and forth. So long as the calories are in check, it doesn't really matter whatsoever.
No, and if you think that to lose more fat you have to go low carb, you don't. When they do studies showing when calories are equated, protein is matched, high carb, low fat, or high fat, low carb doesn't really matter. So personal preference, and yeah, you'll be sweet.
Tomato, tomato. Potato, potato.
Jacket, jacket.
Question number two. How do I lose my love handles?
The old love handles. So around the old hips and waist a bit, I guess what they're referring to. This is just the old calorie deficit over a long period of time. You can't spot reduce. You can build up the area if you want, but I don't know how you're going to build up your hip. So, I mean, maybe some oblique exercises, but
Hang on, hang
I
on a sec. You're telling me that if I don't grab my love handles and I vigorously shake them and yell at them, please leave, that's not
Well, I mean, it may break up the fat, but the fat's not
gonna
going to burn. So,
work?
yeah, it's just you got to be patient with it. And it depends on your gender, your age, how much weight you have around them, where you store body fat, what's going on with your body at the present moment. Are you actually healthy or do you have some sort of disease? But at the end of the day, you have to be in a calorie deficit for, you have to be in a calorie deficit for a long period of time, and then eventually it'll come off. And usually the places that we want off is the last place that it'll be. So you have to do little stints of little fat losses, go back up to maintenance, feel good, and then go back into the deficit and then continue that cycle over and over again until they go. Or just accept it that it's going to be there. But know that you can get rid of it. It just will take time.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. It's often the place that we feel is the place we want to lose it most is often the most stubborn and the last place to go, which just will require you being in a calorie deficit for longer. And I believe I've said this before, but is the last 1 to 2 kilos really worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze in terms of what you have to do in order of your life, habits, behaviors, food choices, in order to see that last 1 to 2 kilos, which will probably be that stubborn area of fat that you really stress and focus on. I would also encourage this person to stop stressing about that one specific area. It may be the fact that you're constantly telling yourself that, oh, I've got love handles, oh, I've got love handles, and you keep ingraining it to yourself. It could just be that's what's making it stubborn, is every cell in your body is listening to everything that you say. So maybe just cut yourself a little bit of slack and be like, okay, I'm taking the actions. In order to lose fat, I'm in a calorie deficit, I'm resistance training, I'm getting sufficient sleep. It will happen over time. I just need to be patient. It will happen. So yeah, unfortunately you can't spot reduce body fat. I mean, if you could, I think majority of people wouldn't really lift weights. They'd probably just do a whole heap of sit-ups and push-ups, yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a couple of studies showing it, but it's so small that it just won't even matter. So I wouldn't
Yeah.
even bother. Like, it's not a
Yeah.
huge difference. So yeah, it's that acceptance of well, and then slowly over time it'll be better. So, like, and you also have to ask yourself, when you lose those love handles, will you be happier? If the answer is yes, okay. But like, you can be happy now while with the love handle, so why not
Yeah,
just choose
exactly.
now? So just maybe just introspect a little bit and really think deep down, is this really what you want? And if it is, go ahead, that's fine. Like, we love changing our bodies the way we are, but if you're in a state of I don't like myself because of these love handles, I think your mindset needs to shift a little bit and going, okay, I accept it right now. This is my body. I know I want to change this, but I will be happy with myself now, and I will still be happy with myself when I do lose them, which will be eventually over time in a calorie deficit, doing all the basics that we talk about.
So, in other words, acceptance of your body, consistency with the habits of creating a calorie deficit and sustaining it, and just be fucking patient.
Yeah, it's a big one, isn't it? It's like that there's that picture with the two miners, and then one miner is like so close to the gold,
Yeah.
and then he just gives up, and if he just kept going, he would have found it. So yeah, just think of that. If you haven't seen the picture, just I don't know, Google something like two miners next to diamond or something. I don't know. You can figure it out. Fucking hell. You don't, yeah.
I do know the photo that you're talking about. He turns like probably 2 digs away from reaching the gold, whereas the other guy's like, oh, I'm believing in the process, I'm staying patient, I'm going to consistently do this, and then he ends up reaching the gold and getting the reward. So yeah, I've seen it before, and it's a great analogy. Question number three, How long can you stay in a cut before losing muscle?
Oh, this one is very, very case dependent. Like you could stay in a cut. So a cut meaning eating in a deficit. So you could be eating in like a 50 calorie deficit for a long period of time. But the thing is people don't. And I think where you need to be more conservative with this, maybe between 15 to 25%, maybe max when it comes to stuff like this. You need to be resistance training to keep that muscle. You need to be having enough sufficient protein, getting good sleep, doing all these habits we talk about. But it's very case dependent. So like if you have a lot of fat to lose, you will probably won't lose as much muscle as someone that's like down to say 8% body fat and they want to get those last 2 to 3% off. Most likely you will probably lose more muscle down in the lower regions, even if you're going slow. It's just inevitable, unfortunately. But we can minimize it as much as we can. But I think this question comes from like, can I just keep cutting until I reach my desired body? And I personally think, I think it's mentally, if you're okay with continuing at the process that you're doing, then yeah, go right ahead. But I know people, they'll want to go on holiday or they'll want to go out with the friends and stuff. Like inevitably they'll have these little breaks in between that goes back up to maintenance or maybe above. So you could say, yeah, I'll just keep cutting, but then just throw in these little days that you would normally have. But no doubt you might lose some muscle the lower body fat that you get. So like from say 20 to 15, minimal. But then once you go to 15 to 10, there's probably going to be a little bit of muscle mass loss. And then 10 below, it's just scraping the barrel. And these bodybuilders know, and they want to keep as much muscle as possible. And from like year to year, they may only gain like 1 or 2 kilos. And that's crazy, like from where they cut from. So slower is going to be better for not losing muscle, but it depends how much body fat you have.
Yep, I think that's the correct answer is that it depends on your starting point and where you're coming from. If you've got more stored energy in the form of fat, then you can probably get away with cutting longer without losing any muscle mass. But the leaner you get, the harder it is to maintain that muscle mass on your body. I believe Jeff Nippard just did a really good YouTube video on this where he talks about his own journey, and I think it's over the past 6 months. So he's been in a deficit essentially the past 6 months. However, he had a week where his partner's family came, and there was a week of Thanksgiving as well, where he's like, I was in a surplus for that whole month. And he graphed it nicely. It was trended down, 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 up for that week, then trending down, up for that week, and then continued to trend down. The total amount, I think, was something like 25 pounds or something
Yeah,
like that.
10 kilos
In
or
the,
something, yeah. Something
yeah,
like that.
in the space of 6 months. So, I mean, he's, I would say, a fairly elite level bodybuilder. Natural bodybuilder, and he's been cutting for essentially 6 months, other than a couple of weeks off here and there. But he said the whole process was really, really simple because I didn't set a time frame on it. I was slow with my process, and it seemed relatively easy because I wasn't overly aggressive, I wasn't overly restrictive, and I was patient and just took my time with it. So similar to the last question, just be patient, and you can stay in one for as long as possible, and probably until you start to see negative side effects. So that could be trouble focusing, trouble sleeping,
Low
waking up
libido.
hungry in the middle of the night, low libido. Yeah, all of these are signs that you've probably been cutting for too long. I recently brought a client from a cutting phase at the end of December, and we'd been cutting for probably 5, 6 months. And I brought him up to maintenance, and then he went away on holiday for 2 weeks. He's like, oh, I've gained a little body fat. I'm like, that's okay. Don't stress. Let's stay at maintenance for a bit and undo any negative side effects that you may have accumulated over the past 6 months. And then we can assess in 4 to 6 weeks' time. And if you're like, yep, okay, I still want to go back into a cut, then we'll go back into a cut and continue to cut from there. But yeah, it's very, very case dependent. Depends where you're starting from. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, yeah, that psychological part about it as well. Like, if you can just keep going, because I think that's where a lot of people can get put off as well, especially if they're not seeing results. They're like, I'm doing all the things, but I'm just not seeing the results as well. So maybe just take a break, relax, recenter yourself, get back up to maintenance, feel good at maintenance, lift some big numbers in the gym and then hit it hard again, and then you'll be in a better mindset as well.
Yep, absolutely. So that mental aspect needs to be taken into consideration with the gut. Personally, there's only so long I can willpower my way through not saying yes to all the delicious, hedonist tasting foods. Willpower will inevitably give out, but that's personally anecdotal. If you can continue to willpower through and you feel better constantly staying in a deficit until you achieve your body, then do that. But yeah, it's very case dependent. Sorry, we can't really give a specific answer. Okay, question number four. What are your preferred ways to do calf raises? Barbells, dumbbells, or machines? You're asking the wrong people, brother.
And we were chatting about this on the weekend and stuff, weren't we? Yeah, I may play it down a little bit with my calves, but...
Oh, bloody oath you do.
My preferred one is definitely the dumbbell. I like the single leg dumbbell calf raise just on a ledge somewhere and just holding a dumbbell. I just love the range of motion that I can get and get a nice squeeze. I don't like doing the bilateral, like on the machines, just because like I can do it, just get it in, get it out kind of thing. But I find that with my left, I don't get as good of stimulus because my right can take over a lot. Just, you know, when I tore my avulsion fractor, it just didn't feel the same. Just can't connect to it as much. So still trying to bring it up, but they're getting pretty similar now, which is great. I don't like barbells because it just doesn't, I don't, unless it's maybe on a Smith machine, like, but still that's not a barbell, that's a Smith machine. Like, I think it's very dangerous because you can load it up, but like you've got massive amount of weight on your back, and then you're going up on your tippy toes. Like, that shit's dangerous. So
the stability aspect of it is just,
yeah, I don't know if you've
for trouble.
Done it. Yeah, it's...
Nah, I don't do it for that reason.
And like I think I brought this up on the podcast before, but I saw a guy load up the barbell doing calf raises with like four plates, and then he took all four plates off of one side, and then the whole barbell just fucking went over. This was in London.
Dickhead.
Yeah. And he was doing calf raises. It's just like, oh my gosh. So if you are going to do that, I probably would say maybe go onto the Smith machine. That's more stability and you can put your safeties on as well. But yeah, I prefer dumbbells just for that range of motion. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of these either or questions like cables or dumbbells or barbells. Both. Like, unless you really have to choose, I would probably lean towards utilizing both and the benefits of both. Now, if we're talking gastroc, so there's two calf muscles, there's the gastroc and the soleus. One is more dominant during the knee bent position, so like a seated calf raise, which is the soleus, and one is more active during the straight leg position, which is the gastrocnemius. Now, personally, I prefer doing the dumbbell or a Smith machine calf raise for the gastroc. However, I really do not like doing a dumbbell for the seated calf raise. It's just a bit of a bitch to set up. So I prefer doing a machine there for the seated. But yeah, I definitely utilize both. So I'll do a single leg calf raise with a dumbbell, like you mentioned there. I can create stability by holding on with my opposite hand and really get a deep stretch in my calf and really flex up onto the ball of my foot. I also like the Smith machine for that reason because it's nice and stable. I know it's not going anywhere and I can line it up nicely with the fibers of my calf with the Smith machine bar and the seated calf raise for that soleus. That would be my pick. But yeah, I really don't like using barbells. If I was to use a barbell and it was my only option, I'd probably lean forward into the rack and do like a donkey calf raise, sliding up the rack. So it's in the rack the whole time and I'm sliding up. Because otherwise, that instability is a real worry for me. Like, I'm going to fall over, fall backwards. And when you've got as much weight as you can load with your calves on your back, it becomes quite dangerous.
Yeah.
I believe it is the second strongest joint in the body, the ankle joint, that flexion of it.
Yeah, okay. Not sure. But when it pops, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm glad you went there because, yeah, obviously, I'm not going to hit that. I call it soleus, but... unless you are sitting down,
it's probably soleus.
But that's all right. You say whatever. It's fine. But yeah, you
Tomato, tomato, mate.
exactly. But yes, seated. Like if anyone's ever done it seated, they know like sometimes you shake a bit when you're doing it. Like it's just yeah, so do that sometimes and then the single leg before. But also if you are doing calf raises, make sure you're doing some sort of tib raise as well. Because you could overpower those calves. And then if you go for a run or whatever, you can start getting shin splints. So make sure you get in the front of your shins as well, just to back it up, I guess.
I was going to go there. So I've got a tib bar for that. And I also do leaning tib raises up against a wall. But I was going to go there. I think my calves have actually developed more, although not fucking much, since I've started including some tib exercises. So I started out with leaning tib and then I was gifted a tib bar and yeah, they've helped tremendously. It's also helped with my knee pain with running. So yeah, I think that's a great suggestion to include both. It'd be like, I want bigger arms, I'm only going to do biceps. Well, hang on. Triceps take up a percentage of your arm as well. In fact, they take up a larger percentage of your arm.
They do.
So you should probably do both if you're wanting to grow your arms. If you're wanting to grow the lower part of your leg, then you should probably do both and not just the calves.
Exactly. And probably two other suggestions as well. You may take this advice, may not. The first one is just get really good genetics. And the second one is just gain a lot of weight and then walk around because that's what I've got. So, and I've worked on them, you know.
I was watching this Shiny Boy sent me this reel, and this guy was being interviewed just out on the street. And he goes, thinking about yourself, what's a major red flag? And he goes, oh, it's just been my calves, and I can't grow my calves. And then as he said it, he's like, oh shit, man, why am I saying calves? Like I'm not in the gym. I'm not thinking about my downsides of being in the gym. He's like, why am I saying my calves? That is me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you went there. Really great genetics definitely helps. Being overweight and carrying around your body for an extended period of time, that definitely helps. Other than that, just give up, hey.
Just give up. Really give up
Yeah.
podcast.
No, the only way you can fail is if you quit.
That's it.
So
Don't quit.
don't give up. You see me, I'm still here out here training calves twice a week, all in vain, but I'm still doing it.
That's it. That's it. And there may be some new research of stretch mediated hypertrophy, which means you're putting your calf into a stretch for long periods of time, and it may increase your calf growth and BFR. You can try some BFR, look it up, KAATSU training, just or if you just have like knee wraps, just wrap some knee wraps around your top of your leg there, like where your hips are, and pump them out. Yeah, there's some other suggestions for you, but they take time.
So because of that, because of the research that's come around about that stretch mediated hypertrophy, I have been doing on the end of all of my the last set of my calves, I have been holding a loaded stretch position for 20 to 25 seconds. If you haven't done that, it burns like crazy. So that could be something if you are interested in growing your calves. I actually made a joke today in the gym about calves, actually, that I'll just get implants, stuff training them. I'd rather spend my time elsewhere. I'll just get calf implants.
Yeah, but the only people that are complimenting you are the lads. So,
Yeah, but exactly.
yeah, that's exactly all you need, isn't it? Pump it up, boys. Pump it up, kings. Nah, we love those queens out there.
Okay. If you want your questions answered in the future, make sure you are following us at brain.body.movement. At Brad Dapper and at Brock_Dougleish. And you can ask us a question whenever we put up a sticker box or just send us a direct message. But that's a wrap for today's episode. We just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. If you enjoyed or took any value at all from this episode, we would really appreciate it if you took a screenshot and shared to Instagram stories. Don't forget to tag us. We would also love if you shared it with family and friends and left us a 5-star review. Don't forget to turn on post notifications so you don't miss an episode. But before we go, if we can leave you with a few things, make your damn bed, get your steps in, and be kind to one another.
Is bit of good news, eh? Earthling reading. Wait, what? Hang on. Little bit of good news, okay? I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
Earthling reading. What
It
does it come
says
from an alien?
it says a bit of good news for the earthlings reading this.
All Alrighty, let's stop talking about little testicles on fish, and let's talk some health and fitness and get stuck into some facts.
Some facts,
Let
some questions.
me repeat that.